Let me pray, and then we'll get into the message and as well into Isaiah 26. Father, thank you this morning for the word which you have given unto us. Thank you for the peace which you provide unto us in Jesus Christ. And thank you, Father, for the trust and the faith that we can have in you, because you are our good God, and you are a gracious and loving God. And Father, in times of trial and in difficulty, sometimes that can be kind of foggy and it's hard to see. But Father, we also want to take the time this morning to look at the perfect peace that you give unto us, even in the midst of our difficulties. And Father, I pray your blessings would be upon me this morning as I give the word, and upon your word as it's presented, and upon your people as they receive it. May your spirit direct us this morning into your word and the truth of it. We pray this in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it's in his name we pray, and for his glory we ask it. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right, I'm going to give you a little bit of a quiz this morning, a little bit of a challenge. I would say take out pencil and paper. We're going to have a pop quiz. Now, I will explain to you why we're doing this in just a moment. I'm not just trying to test your knowledge. But what I want to find out this morning is how well you know your hymns. Okay? There's been kind of a movement that says, hey, we need to sing more hymns, and we've been doing some of that. But at the same time, I want to say, okay, how well do you do in knowing your hymns? Now, the thing that I've done, however, is I have chosen a verse other than the first verse. And now you get to tell me whether or not you know these. Now, I was gracious and decided to make it multiple choice. All right? So here we go, all right? Five hymns, and we're going to start with this one. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Okay, no, just a minute. All right, now, I will admit, I started with an easy one. All right, so if you've got this one already, just say, okay, is it grace greater than all our sin? The love of God? Amazing grace? Or to God be the glory? All right, anybody want to give me the answer? The answer is, it is Amazing Grace. All right, there you go. It is Amazing Grace. Now, I told you I started with the easy ones. Let's move on to a second one. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. Is it to God be the glory? It is well with my soul? Praise to the Lord the Almighty? Or nothing but the blood of Jesus? Okay? I don't see as many guesses here. We got a guess. Jeannie, you got it? What is it? Jeannie says, it is well with my soul. The answer is, it is well with my soul. Okay. Good. Is that two for two, Jeannie? All right. Two for two so far. We'll see. Number three. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing, were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle. Okay? Oh, there's a couple of hands going up. Let me give you your choices, though. Is it, lead on, O King Eternal? Victory in Jesus, stand up for Jesus, or a mighty fortress is our God. All right? Could you get the first one? I'll go ahead and get Bill the second one. All right, a mighty fortress is our God. If you chose that one, all right. Anybody three for three? All right, there's a couple of them that are staying with it. All right, number four. Here we go. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked came to thee for dress, helpless looked to thee for grace. Foul I do the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. Hey, I told you they're getting a little harder. Is it Rock of Ages, cleft for me? Nothing but the blood of Jesus, the old rugged cross, or at the cross? I told you they're getting harder. Anybody taking a guess on this one? Jeannie, what do you, Jeannie is kind of hesitant on this one, but she's going with Rock of Ages. Anybody else want to support Jeannie in her choice of Rock of Ages? Ah, you're standing, Jim's not even raising the hand on this one, Jeannie. So. Yeah, and this was the one that isn't in the hymnal. You know, I had to go way back now. All right, are you ready? Here we go. The answer is, it is Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. Here's the last one. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. All right, here we go. Is it blessed assurance, Jesus is mine? Is it standing on the promises? Is it a shelter in the time of storms? Or is it the solid rock? On Christ the solid rock I stand. Jeannie, you want to take a guess at this one as well? Now you're 4 for 4. Well, or do you want to have Jim do it? Just whisper in Jim's ear, and that way he can. I said, all right, anybody else want to take a guess on this one? What's that? Joyelle saying, D, the solid rock. Anybody want to join with Joyelle and say that's what it is, the solid rock? Yes, we have a couple of them, all right, that are guessing it is the solid rock. The answer to this one is the solid rock. Probably should pray right now, but I've already prayed. So, Isaiah 26. In the day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. All right? Well, I started with the hymns simply to say we are now investigating a song that's going to be sung in the land of Judah in that day. At the end. And as we pick up verse 26, the main passage I want to look at this morning, usually I try covering a large portion of Scripture. This morning I'm going to cover only two verses of Scripture, as well adding in the rest of it around it. Verse 3, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast. If you remember the old King James, it's, he will keep thee in perfect peace whose mind is set on thee. Who's what? Stayed on thee. All right. Okay. And so what I'm doing is as I go through Isaiah and reading through Isaiah, I find these nuggets and I'm thinking, gosh, how many of us have known this verse? But how many of us would have said it came from Isaiah 26? And so what we want to look at this morning is, all right, you will keep him in perfect peace, him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord is the rock eternal. And again, I don't know, maybe some of you have it hanging on your wall in a placard or something like that. To me, it's one of those it should be if it isn't. And if not, it should be underlined in your Bible. If you haven't underlined it yet this morning in your Bible, you should be underlining it in your Bible. We want to look this morning at how do we understand God's perfect peace? And how do we experience God's perfect peace? In the midst of our sorrows, in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our sickness, in the midst of our difficulties, how do we know God's perfect peace in all of life's activities and events and the things that occur? Because I believe I could ask you this morning, how many of you would say there's been a time in your life when you did not think God's peace was perfect? And so we want this morning to look at how do we experience and what are some of the keys to our having God's perfect peace. And so the first key, if you've got your Bible, if you've got your bulletin open and you're ready to go, the first key we're going to look at to understanding perfect peace is the source of our peace is God. The source of our peace is God. We must understand that our peace does not come from our circumstances or our situation we find ourselves in. For Isaiah writes in a time in which there's great chaos, in which there's great difficulty, in which, as we saw it at the very beginning, Isaiah lived through 4 kings and all of the controversy that came with that. We know that we ourselves are living in what I would say controversial times, amen? All you have to do is pick up the paper and you're going to find out that there's controversy happening all around us. There's conflict, there's difficulty, there's toil, there's struggle, there's trials. And we recognize this morning that our perfect peace is not found in the New York Times or the Washington Post or even the Weekly Post. But our perfect peace is found rather in God. Now, Scripture talks about three different ways that we receive the peace of God. All right? First of all, Romans chapter 5, verse 1, talks about we have peace with God. Therefore, having been justified through faith, we have peace with God. This is talking about the relationship that we have with God. We are no longer enemies to God. We're no longer strangers and foreigners. We are strangers and foreigners in this land, but we're not strangers and foreigners to God. We have been reconciled to God through faith in Christ, and we now have and find ourselves at peace with God. How many of you remember Billy Graham and his little track, Peace with God, 4 steps to peace with God? This is how you can have peace with God. Recognize, first of all, that God loves you and has a perfect plan for your life. Secondly, your sin has separated you from God. Third, Jesus paid the penalty for your sin. And fourth, you need to receive Jesus as your Savior in order to know the peace with God that you can have. I'll get to that again in just a moment. But we understand that we have peace with God. Secondly, the source of our peace of God is that we have the peace of God. How many of you know Philippians 4, 6. Anybody got it memorized with me? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplications, let your requests be made known unto God, and the, what is it? Peace of God will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And so here we see the peace of God that comes when we're able to let our requests be made known unto God, that we bring our supplications unto God, we lay aside our anxieties, and we give it up unto God and say, God, you are the Almighty God. Here, you take it, you deal with it, it's yours, it's no longer my problem. I'm just going to let God deal with it. Now, how many of you are really pretty successful at that? How many of you say, you take it, God, and then I'll take it back? The peace of God comes in our understanding and in our anxious moments when we learn that God can be trusted. I talked about it last week. In fact, I'm thinking about sometime in November getting together with Paul and see if he can come and we'll do a talk about what he had to go through when his house flooded. If we're going to take an offering up in November for Paul. But I'm looking at the fact of the whole understanding of, and to Paul, the statement that was on his wall is, God is good all the time. God is good. Now, I'm like, wait a minute. Do you guys, I mean, seriously? When the doctor comes back and says we have to do some more tests, or when the doctor comes back and says we think it's cancer, or when the doctor comes back and says we're going to have to do surgery, do we really believe God is good? When the death occurs, when the passing happens, when the accident is tragic, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. But you see, it's in the times of difficulty that we have to come back to those statements and be able to continually reinforce in our thinking, God is good. Yes, He is. God is good. Yes, He is. I'm not talking necessarily the power of positive thinking. I'm talking about the truth that we understand God is always good. And if God is always good, then do I trust Him with this situation? Knowing that God will bring about the best, for God is good. I'll get to that in a moment. I've already jumped too far ahead. All right. So we see the peace of God is experienced when we're able to give to God our anxieties and our concerns and experience the peace of God that comes in knowing that God has got it under control. The final one, the third one, is, all right, from 1 Timothy 1 and 2, grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Lord, and Jesus Christ, His Son. And so if you look that passage up, you'll see there that now Paul is praying that Timothy would know the mercy and peace that comes from God as God gives it unto us. And so we see, first of all, that Isaiah's key to perfect peace is knowing that the source of our peace comes from who? God. God is the one who gives us the peace. In here we see verse 3, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast. And so we see God is the source of our peace. Secondly, okay, the security of our peace is salvation. The security of our peace is salvation. In this I say, you will keep. The promise is God, what? Will keep in perfect peace the one whose mind is stayed on him, the one who is steadfast in his faith and in his trust. And so we see, well, wait a minute. How can I know that God's always going to do this for me? And you begin to understand, and basically what you can do is you can turn with me to Romans chapter 8, and I believe it's verse 29, where it says, if God has not freely already given to us as his Son, and the salvation that is found in Jesus, will he not also give us all things? And so if God has granted to us the security of our salvation, then will God not also give unto us every good thing? And so we see here again, the security of our peace is found in salvation. I want you to take your Bible and I want you to look up to verse 9 of chapter 25. You'll find out when you do your life group that actually this song begins in chapter 25, verse 1. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name. For in perfect faithfulness, you have done marvelous things, things planned long ago. And so from chapter 25, verse 1 through the end of 26, the entire time is basically a song of praise unto God, of which we are taking just this one verse to look at this morning. But I want to jump up to verse 9 of 25. In that day they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. And so again, even Isaiah is reminding us of the things that God has done for them. I will exalt you and praise your name, for in your perfect faithfulness you have done marvelous things, things planned long ago. And so I put in here technically, and part of the reason, the difficulty I have in this is verse 9, the NIV translates it, surely this is our God, we trusted in him and he saved us. The NIV, and I believe it is the King James, says, we waited for him and he saved us. Literally, the idea there of we trusted in the NIV, we waited in the English Standard Version means we were stretched by God. Some of you would say God stretched me before. God has brought hardships, God has brought difficulties, God has brought things in my life that stretched my faith. And you thought, sure, it was going to break. But God knows just how far to stretch it, to make it stronger, and to use it. And so I put down here, the security of our peace is salvation. We wait, for God will. All right? We wait, for God will. We wait for God, and God will do his thing. God will do that which is right. While we wait for God, he is the one who will do his work. Look at chapter 25, verse 8. He will swallow up death forever. What will God do? He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord, verse 8 of 25, will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. And so we wait for God to do his work. For God will keep in perfect peace those whose mind is stayed on thee. Those whose mind is steadfast. Those whose mind doesn't waver in their trust of God. Those whose mind is firm in their trust of God. And so the security of our peace is salvation. We find our security in the salvation that God has given to us. And because of the salvation God has given to us, we can find our security in the things that God now does as well. Third, the setting of our peace is trust. The setting of our peace is trust. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast. Why? What's it say, folks? Help me out. Because he trusts in you. Now, if that's not enough, trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord is the rock eternal. You see, our peace is not based upon our circumstances around us. Our peace is not based upon the difficulty which we face. Our peace is based upon the trust that we have in God when we go through difficult times. Anybody want to amen that? For you see, Isaiah is writing in difficult times. You remember, he's writing to a difficult people who will be ever seeing but never understanding, who will be ever knowing but never know, but never having knowledge, who will be ever hearing but never. And yet, in the midst of this song that Isaiah writes, he reminds us that we must trust in him. Because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. And so we see the setting of our peace is trust. Now, why is it sometimes it's difficult to trust God? Anybody want to agree with me? Sometimes it's difficult to trust God. Okay, God, I can trust you with that, but I'm not so sure this one's going, you know, that this one is a little bit bigger than you can handle. Now, how many of you say that's not true? Nothing's bigger than God. But how many of us understand what I'm talking about? We're kind of like, okay, God, but I'm not sure about this time. And I put down here three reasons why it's difficult to trust God. Number one, because of disappointment in the past. God, I trusted you. And it didn't happen. I trusted you. And you didn't. I trusted you. And where were you? And there's times in which the disappointment of our past can cause our trust to be lost. I can't trust you for this one, God, because I trusted you then, and this is what happened. Now, what do we do when our disappointment in the past keeps us from trusting God? Again, I go back to chapter 25, verse 1. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name. For in perfect faithfulness, you have done marvelous things, things planned long ago. Here's how you build your trust. Keep track of the things that God has done for you. Remember the times that God did come through for you. Remember what God did do for you. For you see, we have all of our prayers that we offer up unto God, and we assume He's going to answer them. And so when He does, it's almost like, oh, thanks God, that was pretty nice of you to answer that prayer for me. I really appreciate that. But when it seems like God doesn't answer the prayer, all of a sudden it's like, you never answer my prayers. You're never there when I need you. And we forget the things that God has done for us in the past. And rather than praising Him for the past, for what He's done, and exalting Him, you are my God, we rather distrust Him or are disappointed with Him because of the things we feel He hasn't answered. Now, disappointment in the past will lead to distress in the present. It leads to distress in the present. God, I'm really having trouble trusting You in this. I don't know if I can trust You in this, God. God, I've seen what's happened in the past. I don't know about how I can trust You. And there's a distrust in the present. And for that, we simply have to say, trust in the Lord. Forever. We must come back to the understanding, as I try to do, and I don't always do it the best, but come back to the understanding, is God good? And does God have your best interest in mind? If God is good and has your best interest in mind, will not God do what is best for you? And in that we must simply what? Trust God. That He knows best what is best for me. And that He will do that which is right. For He is a righteous God. Can God do anything wrong? For if God did one thing wrong, He would not be righteous. And so we see and we learn that in our present circumstances, when we are going through difficulties, that if we're going to know the perfect peace of God, we must set our understanding and our peace in the trust of God. And the distress in the present leads to doubt in the future. You see, we begin to doubt whether God really is going to bring about what we desire Him to bring about, or if God really is going to act in the future in our best interests. And Isaiah writes, "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is stayed on Thee, because they trust in You." The bottom line is, do we really trust God? Are we trusting God with our future? What God has in store, what God has in mind, what God has planned for us. Now, I have enough time. I think I can still get done. I want to go, James, into the video. This past week, as I was driving back to the office, I heard the Voice of the Martyr program at 11 o'clock on WBNH, and I heard the man who had basically produced this video, and actually he was the director of the Korean Voice of the Martyrs, was on yesterday morning, and he had produced this video. He personally knew the person who's in this video that will be presented here. And basically the question I want to ask is, how do you trust God when you live in communist North Korea and you know that for your faith you can be persecuted at any time? How do you trust God? And the story was told that he knew his life was in danger. He knew a couple weeks ahead. In fact, he was in South Korea meeting with the Voice of the Martyrs director. And I'll tell you how you can get to that later on if you ask me. But he was meeting with the director, and he knew that the rumble was that they were on the lookout for him. And his comment was, "I've been sent by God to shepherd my people. And the shepherd does not." Remember John 10? The shepherd does not what? forsake his flock. And so how does this man face the trouble of persecution and death because of his faith? You got it, Jameson? Did I give enough intro there? Did you get it up? Thank you. It's 7 minutes, so...
Hey, 초등학교에서 우리는 선교사들은 모두 승량이 되라고
In the primary school, we were taught that all missionaries were terrorists. They told us that a missionary will be nice to you at first, but when they get you into their homes, then they will kill you and eat your liver. There was no food and no work in my village. Like some others, I snuck across the mountain border into China. I picked mushrooms in the hopes of selling them in Chiang Mai. I don't speak Chinese at all. But in the mountains, I met a man. He said, I can sell those for you. And he didn't cheat me. He gave me all the money from the sale. At that time, I didn't know he was Pastor Han. Over the next 2 years, I went back several times. Each time, Pastor Han helped me. One day, I asked why he would do this, for he himself was in great danger for assisting a North Korea. It is because I am a Christian, he said. That made me afraid. Was he going to eat my liver? One day, Pastor Han said to me, God is real. There is hope for every person. I could not believe he would say that word, God. Nobody says that word. We know it is an act of treason. To speak the name of God can lead to soldiers coming in the night. Will write about you, and no one will ever dare ask where you have gone. One day I asked Pastor Han for a Bible. He knew that if I was caught with a Bible, my life would be in danger. But over time, I persuaded him. I showed the Bible to my wife. At first, she refused to even look at it. Why would you bring that here? She cried. She knew that if anyone reported that you had even glanced at a Bible, you would be arrested. And not just you. You and all your relatives sent to the concentration camps for years and years and years. Over time, my wife too learned that God is real. She found hope. And then I shared the word of God with my best friend. It was very dangerous for me to share. It was very dangerous for him to listen. One day in the summer of 2016, we heard that some North Korean assassins were being honored by the government, rewarded for their good work, for killing a terrorist missionary in Changbai. We knew it was Pastor Han. Who else could it be?
우리는 너무 두려웠습니다.
We were frightened. Did they know he was my friend? Did they know I had met with him many times?
내가 여러 번 목사를 만났다는 것을 알아냈을까?
이러다 우리도 죽는 거 아닙니까?
아, 당연히 또
한 목사님은
Pastor Han gave his life, but he gave hope to me and to many other North Koreans. And despite the ever-present danger, many of us will continue to share the message that God is real. We hope that our sacrifice, when the day comes, will be worthwhile. Just like it was for Pastor Han.
So the question remains, how can Pastor Han find peace? How can his wife find peace? How can the people of North Korea find peace in the midst of their persecution? For they trust in him. And in that they find their peace. The last point I make as I wrap it up, the strength of our peace is solid. The strength of our peace is solid. How do we know God will come through? How do we know? Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord is the rock eternal. On the one hand, we can say, He is the rock upon which I stand. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. There is no other place we can stand than on Christ. For He is our solid rock. I put down here, it doesn't wear out. You see, the faith that we have in Jesus Christ doesn't wear out. It continues to grow. It continues to be reinvigorated. It continues to give us life. It continues to be our light in darkness. For the Lord is the rock eternal. And secondly, I put down here, it doesn't wear away. Boy, I don't know about you, but I find myself oftentimes in times of doubt when I think about the future. What's the future hold for us? What's it going to be like? And then you watch a film like this, or next week we'll pray for the persecuted church, and you have to ask yourself the question, if that was me, and if that was my family, would my faith wear out? Would I give in or give out? We see that the writer Isaiah says that he who trusts in you will trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock. Doesn't wear out. Doesn't give in. But the faith we have in God remains firm through it all and in it all. I believe it was Andre Crouch wrote the song, through it all, what's he say? I learned to trust in Jesus. I learned to trust in God. Through it all, our peace is made perfect by our trust in God, even in the midst of our trials and our difficulties. God is good all the time. Right? He will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is stayed on thee. Amen. May we know the perfect peace of God in the midst of our trials and our difficulties. Amen. Amen.